may be seated. Thanksgiving. Notice, if you noticed in that offering confession, we say, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to your word to prosper, increase, and bless me. Now get a clue. That's something everybody should say every day, particularly after you've rendered your tithes, returned your tithes, and given your offerings. Because we said before, everything gets done by speaking. So some people say, well, I'm working and I'm bucket plunking. You know, you bucket plunking means I'm writing a check out or I'm sending a machine. I'm tithing, but nothing's happening. Well, first place your check is below your nose, 1 inch below your nose. Amen. Because, you know, in Malachi 3, where Fred was reading first, he said, your word, the reason it's not working, the reason you get bag got holes in it, the reason you're not moving forward financially is because your words are stout. And if your words are stout, you're saying, this is no use. This doesn't work. That means you can tithe technically in the bucket, but you can have your mouth run all over the place and stop or block your blessing. Amen. Don't shout me now. I'm preaching real good. This is November, right? Everybody good? So everybody should be, when we say the confession, we're basically equipping you and empowering you with words of life, words of faith to confess. Remember, it's what you confess you possess. Amen. And so you have to say the money will come. You have to say, amen, God supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So let not heaven, hell, or earth record you talking negative about your money. That's for somebody in here. That's what the Holy Spirit told me to say. So you got to talk what the word says. Say what the word says. Don't talk about the lack of money. Don't talk about the shortage of money. Don't talk about what's happening with the government and they've shut down and people are running out of money. You don't ever talk like that. Everybody good? All right, that's a pastoral interlude before the sermon. Amen. So get your mouth and let your mouth do its duty. Every day you should be calling the money in, claiming what you need, commanding the devil to do what? Take your hands off my money. We have that in the confession. Take your hands off my money. Take your hands off God's property. If you don't exercise your authority or your finances, don't blame God for holding the money back. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, everybody good? All right, this month we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We know Thanksgiving this month, but we want you to be thinking about a lifestyle of thanks, an attitude of gratitude. The goal here is that, you know, many of us will become what I call them, praiseaholics. Not alcoholics, praiseaholics, and addicted thanksgivers. Not addicted to drugs or social media, addicted to Thanksgiving. Because the Lord was prompting me as we were getting ready and preparing for this day, and trust that you're all praying with me, right, for the right words to say each week. Amen. And some people are still way behind on their Thanksgiving. Because the world is hard and we're in difficult times. But that doesn't mean we withhold our praise. Doesn't mean we shut down our Thanksgiving. Every morning, everybody in this room and those that belong to this church that are not here should intentionally get up and thank God at least 10 to 12 times for who he is. Not what's going on or what's happening, because if you start thinking about what's not happening, what's going wrong, you will be complaining and grumbling and murmuring. That's not your mouth's job. Your mouth's job is to lift up your voice and give thanks. In everything, give thanks, right? So we're opening up with this scripture. Here it is, Colossians 3:15, Amplified Classic. You can highlight that verse or in your Bible or in your device. Let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ. Where does it come? From Christ. Rule. That's instruction, right? Act as an umpire continually. Where? In your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Now, there's a purpose for that peace that comes from Christ. In that peaceful state, to what that which as members of Christ, one body, you are also called to live. I'm called to live in that peaceful state. The opposite is a restless state. Can't sleep, always stressed, always in distress. But he said, you're called to live in this peaceful state, so get to where you're calling. Called to. I'm not called to live in panic and being paranoid. And when we take communion today, we say, Lord, yes to your calling. I'm called to live in this peaceful state. Now listen to this. And be thankful. He doesn't stop there. He said, and be thankful. Thankful. Full of thanks. Appreciative. Giving praise to God. How much? Always. So the questions we asked this morning, this first Sunday in November, how is your thanksgiving? How is your attitude of gratitude? How is your lifestyle of thanksgiving? This verse again tells us that the powerful, plainly, that the Christ peace must rule in our hearts and minds. Is it? Whose peace? Christ's peace. He told us in John 14, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. And let it not be afraid. So Jesus bequeathed, that's an inheritance transaction. He bequeathed us his peace. And he said, use my peace so that your heart and mind doesn't become troubled, traumatic, tenuous, terrible. So that you don't panic under and feel under pressure of circumstances all the time, and the problems that encounter and encroach all of our lives doesn't get us to a place of worry and fear and anxiety and hopelessness. Jesus has said, reminding us this morning, I'm giving you what I have so that your heart and mind is protected. We know you're going to have pressure. You know, the Lord knows you're going to have problems. He knows that there's things that's going to try to cause you to panic or be hysterical. But he said, take my peace and let my peace rule in your heart. And when he says rule, he says act like an umpire. We know Game 7 was last night, if you watch baseball. World Series, it went into extra innings. The Dodgers repeated again as World Series champions. And one of the plays, one of those extra inning plays was so real. I watched the game before too. It was a double play out, and last night was out at the plate. What does an umpire do? He calls what? Safe or what? Out. So the peace of God, the peace of Christ will tell you this is safe to be in here and safe to think about up here. Or that needs to get out. Everybody understand what I'm saying? The analogy I'm using? Praise God. This verse also tells us, and we learned this from one of our instructors at Rhema Bible Training College, in Oklahoma. And this has kept me, and this is really big to me, this next statement we have. We're not to talk about. What? Think about. What? Ponder on or meditate on. Now take this as, these are my communion commitments today. I'm not supposed to talk about, think about, ponder on, and meditate on things you don't know. Now, social media and media is trying to be real big, trying to tell you things you don't know. Because everybody knows people's curiosity gets the what? Gets the best of them. You don't need to be thinking about, talking about things you don't know. That's what you do when you take the communion elements, communion commitments, things you don't have. This is a big one. People talk about, I don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have that. Why are you talking about it? You're undoing and dismantling the peace that's supposed to be ruling here and here. And don't talk about, think about, ponder on, or meditate on things you can't do. Why disturb your peace? Amen. So why? Why is this? Because, first of all, it works against your peace of mind. Secondly, it causes you to be more cloudy, conflicted, and confused in your mind and in your emotions. Lastly, the state of mind and attitude makes you unthankful and ungrateful. Because when you're cloudy, confused, and conflicted, you're not thankful. You're not grateful for what you do know, for the things you do have, for the things you can do. And people become ungrateful or unthankful because I can't do that. We don't have that. I don't know about that. And they get behind or they get negligent in their giving of thanks and their attitude of gratitude. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Because somebody say amen. And so you eventually end up dishonoring the Lord. That's the big deal. Let's choose today, going forward into next year, we're not going to dishonor the Lord by being unthankful and ungrateful. Can I have an amen to that? All right, let's look at their next scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, familiar one, very famous one. In everything, come on, let's all read it together. Look at the screen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did it say for everything? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Does it say for everything? It says in everything, give what? Now, listen to this in the Amplified Classic. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be what? And what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. Is that you? Raise your hand if that's you. If you're in Christ, raise your hand. I don't see every hand raised. Come on. Raise your hand if you're in Christ. Raise your hand. And the revealer and mediator of that will. I don't know what God wants me to do. Thank God in what? No matter what the circumstances are, maybe, or be thankful and give thanks. Let's say you got a financial situation. What's the first thing everyone is supposed to be doing? Giving complaints?
No.
Grumbling and mumbling?
No.
Talking about how prices has risen up?
No.
What about something in your body? What's the first thing you're supposed to do?
Yes.
That he's what? He knows, he cares, he's a healer. That's three things to give thanks about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Is that what God wants us to do? Don't we see that that's in the Word? Come on, saints. That extra hour of sleep make you sluggish? Come on. It is God's will for you to and me to be thankful. Amen. To be thankful and to give thanks in all things. Amen. At all times. So if we took a survey yesterday and today, how many times did you give thanks? Now he says be thankful. Now that doesn't mean be thank empty. I'm getting you to think this morning. When you thank empty, you walk around with your mouth closed. Because you give thanks as the fruit of your lips, Hebrews 13:15 tells us. That means your own mouth expresses and vocalizes and verbalizes thanks to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I'll give you all a clue. Come on, let's just practice Thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It takes in many cases, faith and humility. That means you're not going to feel like giving thanks. Your flesh is not going to be highly motivated to give thanks because there's problems all around you, perhaps. Pressure all around you. But you still got to do what? You got to choose to do what God wants, not what you feel. God wants you to do what? Give thanks. What's that song? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for he has given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks. Come on now. Are you giving thanks when you're cooking dinner? What about when you're doing your chores? What about when you're spending money to fix your car? They calling me already to come back in for oil change. I'm like, that was quick. But thank you, Lord. You helping me get my oil change fixed? Give thanks. In everything? Did he say for everything? In everything, give thanks. All right. Let's go down to our next verses. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to who? Who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. These are two actionable verses when the situation or circumstances arise. When I say actionable verses, everybody say actionable verses. So I need to have these two in my holster. So when the circumstance or the situation arises, what happens? That it looks like I'm going to be defeated. It looks like depression is trying to encroach my soul. It looks like a division is trying to tear apart my house. It looks like death is trying to take control of my body. He said, but thanks be to God who, present tense imperative, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So that means what? It indicates that I can thank God before the outcome at the onset of death, at the onset of difficulty, at the onset of division, or at the onset of indebtedness, or I got a big crazy bill coming in the mail. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. So thanksgiving precedes and accelerates victory coming. Woo! I'll give you a silver bullet here. You need to put it in your holster. Let's just say you run into, somebody runs into the back of you on a freeway. Most people cry out 911 and they call their loved ones and tell, somebody hit me. You need to be pulling out that silver bullet. Thanks be to God who gives me, brother so-and-so, sister, Mr. so-and-so, Miss so-and-so, your car is totaled. We can't fix this on your car. Your washing machine or dryer is broken down. But there's no word that's inconsequential in the Bible. But thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You fire that one away. And you keep firing, but thanks be to God who gives me the victory. Anybody know that Keith Moore song? Thanks be to God who gives me the victory, gives me the victory, gives me the victory. Oh, thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Over poverty and debt, my God gives me the victory, gives me the victory. Tax man could be staring you right in the face. IRS could be breathing down your neck. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus. Over sickness and disease, my God gives me. Doctor gave you a bad report in the hospital, in a doctor's office. You should be singing that. Over sickness and disease, my God gives me the victory, gives me the victory, gives me the victory. Thanksgiving precedes victory. That was enough to comb your hair and come to church this morning. Now listen to this next one. Remember? Now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now thanks be to God who, how much?
Always.
What does always mean? Come on, church. What does always mean?
Always.
He always what? Leads us into what?
Triumph,
just like victory. That means I'm not going to be triumphed. I am triumphant. In where? In Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrances of his knowledge in every place. That's that other silver bullet, right? That we should be living with, because I'm not saying this to be funny or crazy. Every one of us go through trials and troubles every month. It may not be every day, but it's at least once a month. You're facing something. The enemy doesn't take days off. He's coming after you. But you need to be using your ammunition. Let me tell you something, Mr. Devil. Thanks be to God who always, because he might be whispering in your ear, I got you now, I got you down, you're defeated, you're not. This is not going to turn around, you're not going to get your healing, you're not going to see the financial breakthrough you desire, you're not going to have it, you're not going to get it. You says, thanks, but you got to talk back to the devil and pull out that holster. Some of y'all need to pull out the holster. And pull that hammer back on 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who gives, who always causes or leads us in triumph in Christ. I've declared Jesus is Lord over these situations, so I'm letting him lead me to triumph. and then I'm going to come out of this smelling like victory, smelling like blessing, smelling like a triumphant person who I am in Christ. And the fragrance is going to smell, Mr. Devil, all through this neighborhood. Our house is going to smell like victory. There's power and much untapped power in Thanksgiving. That's the reason the Lord said talk about this, because too often we're withholding or we're behind on our Thanksgiving. We're behind on our praise. Now, God doesn't necessarily credit listening to music. He credits more you from your own heart, through your own lips, singing and saying thanks and giving praise. That's why praise and worship is a good deal, because it gives an opportunity for everybody to participate in the singing to the Lord and to singing praises to the Lord. If you're sitting there with your hands folded and you're looking like this and your mouth is closed, and you're trying to just look at the words, you're not praising. You're not thanking. So when we take communion today, say, Lord, I'm going to be a praiser. We've been called, according to 1 Peter 2, we've been called, you know, royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the what? The praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we've been called to show forth praises to God. And just like when you got a dull flashlight, when you ain't praising God, your flashlight is flickering. You can barely see with it. We want to light up this room, and we want to light up heaven with the praises that come from our lips. And when we get time to give the offering, we want to light up heaven with the cheerfulness and thanksgiving of giving our tithes and giving our offerings. I'm talking about living thankful and being grateful. And let me tell you, there's no place between being thankful and unthankful. Because some people say, well, Pastor, I'm just neutral. I'm right in the middle. When I feel like praising, I open my mouth. When I feel like giving thanks, I open my mouth. I'll say it again. There's no place between being thankful or unthankful. The Bible doesn't give us a description of in between. He said, be thankful. And that's all the Bible says for us to be. But the Bible does say a lot about being unthankful. So when you take communion today, you decide, I'm going to live thankful and be grateful. Notice the full on the back of the both of them. Come on, let's lift your hands and come on, let's practice a little bit more. Thank you, Lord. Come on, so you say it through your own mouth. Say it through your own lips. Amen. Now here's the other question. How do you increase your capacity to receive from God? So God was showing me also that he has more things he wants to give and download to us, deposit to us, distribute to us. He's ready. He's willing. He's wanting to give us things and flood our lives from heaven, heaven's resources. But how do you increase your capacity to receive the things God has for us? Cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. You and I need to cultivate a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. Now listen, next slide, guys. Being unthankful is limiting. Look at Psalm 78, 40 through 43. It says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness. Do you know we can provoke God? God doesn't change. He's responding. He's listening to our words. He's listening to our heart and mind. Do our words and thoughts glorify God or horrify him? They provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God. Look at what they did. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day which he redeemed them from the enemy. When he worked his signs and wonders and wonders in the field of Zoan, they tempted him. So the children of Israel provoked the Lord God and grieved God. Unfortunately, we can do the same today. What provoked and grieved the Lord? Look at that. Number one, their constant complaining and murmuring about their current conditions and circumstances. Even the simple stuff like it's too cold, it's too hot. The food doesn't taste good. Hallelujah. They provoked him and grieved him because they're rebellious and disobedience and being ungrateful and unthankful. It caused them to limit God and God's will and work in their lives and forfeit their development and their destiny. God has two things in mind. He uses the wilderness experiences of life to develop you. Yes, he delivered you out of Egypt. We came out of the world. We came delivered from the world's control and the satanic dominion. And then he put us in the wilderness to test us and prove us and to develop us. Wilderness is a type of development. Our destiny is the promised lands. There's no such thing as unchallenged faith. So the challenge will come to your faith, but you must pass the test of faith. Amen. The raw test of faith is that you must believe, trust, and obey God without sight or without sign. That you're going to step out over the aching void with nothing under your feet but the word of God. And then they did not believe or act like that was true. So two things involved in Thanksgiving. Everybody say it with me. Remembering and valuing. They forgot who God was. They forgot what God did for them. They forgot what he was doing for them. They forgot what the Lord had promised them. This place of being unthankful limited God's work through them. They didn't remember the wilderness, and eventually died there. Unthankfulness is a sign of these perilous times. Look at 2 Timothy 3:1-2. But know this, that the last days, perilous times shall come. That means hard and difficult times. We live in that right now. But men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look right in the middle there. Unthankful. Everybody say unthankful and unholy. What unthankful living and ungrateful lifestyles also does, it darkens and dulls our spiritual understanding and comprehensions of spiritual things and truth. Just like our opening scripture, don't think about, don't talk about, don't ponder on, don't meditate on things you don't have, things you can't do, things that you don't know. That should be foreboding. In our thought life and in our heart. We shouldn't touch those things with our mouths and our minds. Can I have an amen to that? So why? Because you're going to get darker and duller. You're going to get more cloudy and confused. And then, of course, in Romans, it tells us this, that in Romans 1:21, because they knew God, they did not glorify him. That means give thanks and praise God. They didn't glorify him as God. They were unthankful and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart were darkened. That means they didn't go forward. They digressed and devolved instead of progress and evolve into more light and more freedom. Y'all quiet. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. All right, and then it causes your blessings to be stopped or blocked. Deuteronomy 28:47 says, because you did not serve the Lord with joyfulness of mind and in what? For the abundance of all the things in which he has blessed you. See, some people don't think it's a blessing to be able to serve. Don't talk, I'm in your Kool-Aid now. Some people think it's a burden. Because they come to church looking at the schedule. Am I on? Am I scheduled? When the first thing we should say in everything, give what? Thank you, Lord, that I have another opportunity to serve your people. I have another opportunity to use the gifts that you gave me and the calling you called me to come to church and serve you and your people. Because you can see it on the attitude. If you come with a sullen, melancholy, que sera, sera, I'm not even happy about being in my position. And then some people wonder, why are things not happening for me? Let me tell you, everybody here? Everybody good? A lot of times you're out of position. Because the will of God is that in everything, give thanks. Psalms 100, verse 2. You can write the scripture reference. Psalms 102. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. The happiest people we should see coming to church on Sundays and Wednesday nights, the most joy-filled people should be the ones that are listed to serve. Because he said, serve the Lord with gladness. Did he say madness? He said gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That means you should have a song in your heart that you're already singing to the Lord. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be. The reason people don't serve in church is because they think that position is a burden. Not a blessing. Thank you, Pastor. You're preaching real good today. And some of us listen to that little slimy, slick devil in the morning. Don't come. Don't show up. And you come in grumpy and frumpy. And then you're looking at everybody cross-eyed. Why? You've been listening to the wrong voice. You need a checkup from the neck up. What that means, an attitude adjustment. That means you need to get grateful. The same clothes you have on that you're ungrateful and unthankful in, you can get thankful and grateful. You can cheer up and say, Lord, I'm serving you with gladness. I'm glad to pray. I'm glad to serve. I'm glad to sing. Come on now. I'm glad to pass the bucket. I'm glad. I'm glad to serve and seat people. Praise God. I'm glad to push buttons for the media team. I'm glad to serve in the children's ministry. I'm glad. He said, be thankful. You know, there was a story about an Australian billionaire, and one of my mentors, our pastors, was with them. And he had a sign on his office, and he had a suitcase full of money. It was $1 million. He said, here, hold this for me. And this is Pastor Mark Hankins. And so he grabbed the suitcase, and he said, "That's $1 million in there. I want you to feel and visualize carrying $1 million. It was $1 million actually in that suitcase. So he said, like, "Man." And he walked into his office, and he had a sign over his office. It says, "You got 10 seconds to get enthusiastic or get out of my office." This Australian billionaire, multi-billionaire, did not want people coming in and giving him a sad song and a sad story. Now, the interesting thing is some people bring it to church. They bring their sad song and their sad story to people at church because they want to spread. You know, that whole outage, it's not a Bible verse, but it's a cultural thing. Misery loves what? Company. And hurting people hurt other people. And so Pastor Mark Hankins was one time praying in the closet, prayer closet, and then he was praying to the Lord, monotone, religious, and ritualistic prayer, blah, 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 okay, Lord, blah, blah, blah. And he's dealing with the pressure, and he's dealing with the problems, and he's dealing with the pain of the ministry and things and going on in his life and his family and stuff like that. So he's carrying the burden. And then he's getting ready to get out, so he's got to say, "I've got a busy day. I got to go to work and got to get things done." And he starts to walk out, and the Holy Spirit says, "Excuse me? Now, I'm talking to church folks here, right? Christian people, right? Has the Holy Spirit ever said, 'Excuse me?'" And he said, "What?" He said, "I got a lot of stuff to do." He said, "Are you going to praise me and thank me?" We just give God all of our prayer needs and prayer requests and all this other stuff, but we don't spend time thanking him. And then the Holy Spirit even took him to a point that says, "Are you going to dance and rejoice? The Father likes dancing. The Father likes rejoicing." And then he had to tell him, "You got 10 seconds to be enthusiastic or get out of my office." So, you know, he got himself together and started dancing and rejoicing and started giving thanks. So some of us think, "Well, Pastor, I don't feel like giving thanks." I didn't ask you to feel like it. You got to make a decision to be thankful and to give thanks by faith, not by feeling. Give thanks intentionally without the inspiration or the goosebumps or the glory feeling that you might think you have to have. No, because what happened? They got in trouble in Deuteronomy 28. If you study the whole chapter, they got in trouble for what? Being ungrateful about what God was doing in their lives, the blessings he had given them, the benefit of being developed by God Almighty, the blessing of being led in the wilderness by his Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you know, as Dad Hagen tells it, he said a lot of times when he sees trouble coming over the horizons, he begins to thank and praise God before it even shows up at his door. He sees it coming, but he says, "Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Another opportunity for God's word to come to pass on my behalf. Another opportunity for God to get the glory in and through my life. This is another opportunity to see God's word become true in my life experience right now." Come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're to serve the Lord, brothers and sisters, 24/7, 365. With our best time, our best talent, our best treasure, our best testimony, without reservation, hesitation, or limitation. Now, we're going to pick it up there next week because we're going to take communion. But the Lord wants to call us all back to a place of thanksgiving and praise. The challenge is this: we are never to let our praise and worship diminish or go down from this day forward. Now, if we have to holler and scream through the mic and say, "Settle down, settle down," that's okay. But right now, we don't have to holler. We want the hotel to say, what's going on over here? What's all that noise over here? Because we're full of praise. We're full of thanks. When we're out here in this area here, conversations need to be littered and filled with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. That should become a part of our language around our house. Thank you, Lord. I get to cook for my family. I get to cook for myself, if it's yourself. Thank the Lord. I got food in the pantry or in the cabinets or in the refrigerator. Thank the Lord. Come on. I'm giving you clues here. Thank you, Lord. I have laundry detergent and fabric softener to wash my clothes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I have a good running car. Thank you, Lord. My car runs well, gets me to and from the grocery store and the retail store. Thank you, Lord, that you always cause me to triumph in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Before you get to the doctor, thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. Thank you, Lord, that you're my provider. Thank you, Lord, that you're my caretaker. Thank you, Lord, that you're my keeper. You'll keep me from all evil. I don't care about the evil report that may come, the evil report, but I believe the good report of the Lord, and I thank you for that good report, Lord. I thank you that your word is more faithful than the doctor's words. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just thank the Lord for just a second here. We're going to close. Thank you, guys. We'll pick up there next week, so keep it right there, John. We're going to part two next week. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I heard that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, some have complained, and you've wondered why you've remained stuck, stagnant, and at a stalemate with the situations and with the circumstances that you've been facing last month and even today.